Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Between the Ropes podcast. Appreciate it. We've got two guests on the podcast today. The first one is Alex from Tough Enough, the latest person that was voted off the show on Tuesday night. And I'll talk with Alex about what exactly went wrong for him on the show, and also his comments about how knowledge means nothing, and some of the other aspects of the show. And by the way, I do want to say one thing about that interview. So the audio quality for myself is a little bit down, and that's just because of the way that I had to record the interview, because I was at a remote location and I wasn't at my studio. So I apologize about that. It's not the worst thing, but obviously it could be a little bit better, and I like it to be better. But I did want to include the interview on the podcast, so just wanted to give you the heads up about that. And then after the talk with Alex, speak with Scott Fishman from the Miami Herald and also from Channel Guide Magazine. That's channelguidemag.com, which I screw up during the conversation with him. But I talk with Scott about TNA, what's going on there, Slammiversary, which he was at. And we'll talk a little bit about WWE right now, especially with the rating for Monday Night Raw, which was down. It's one of the lowest that they've had in the last 18 years. And we'll also talk a little bit about Tough Enough there and the WWE show in Tokyo that's coming up this Saturday, including the big Finn Balor, Kevin Owens match for the NXT title. And we talk some social media as well, because some people are picking on Scott on social media. So all that's coming up here on the podcast. I do want to ask everybody once again to please support Between the Ropes on Patreon. If you can do that, go to patreon.com/betweentheropes, whether it's $1, $2, $3, $5, whatever you can contribute would really, really help us out with the different costs and everything that it takes to do Between the Ropes on a week-to-week basis. If you like what we do, if you value our content, and I think you do because you're listening to this right now, then please support us on Patreon. Like I said, even for $1 a month, it really goes a long way. I know there's a lot of content that's out there, but there's a lot of content that you don't want to listen to, that you do not value. And I would hope to think that you are valuing Between the Ropes. And if you value us, then please support us and help us keep doing what we do. And that's doing all the audio and the video that we do every week. And it will allow us to do even more going forward. So please support us on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. Help us out there. It's really, really easy to do. You can also get the link by just going to betweentheropes.com. And we have the button for it in the top right of the website. And of course, subscribe to us on YouTube and also on iTunes or on Stitcher if you haven't done that already. I've got a feeling you probably are, because that's how you're listening to us, or you're listening to us straight from the website. So thanks again for all of your support. And here's my conversation with Alex from Tough Enough.
How's it going?
Hey, Alex, how you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. So I was going to ask you that right off the bat. Like, how are you doing a day after being eliminated from the show?
Actually, I'm doing a lot better than I thought. I mean, last night I was bummed out, you know, but thinking it over and realizing that, you know, coming out of almost 12,000 competitors wanting to be in my position, I feel great, man. I mean, you know, millions of people would love to be in my position, and I'm glad I got through the experience.
How nerve-wracking is that experience? Because you're a guy that has some acting experience, but it's a whole different ball game when it's all about you and you're on a live show and you're out there for the world to kind of judge. How nerve-wracking is that?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, it's nothing I've ever experienced before, because not only do we have to, you know, compete against each other, but then we have to, in a short period of time, tell the WWE Universe why we're Tough Enough. And it's really hard to get out in those short few seconds. But it's, I mean, gosh, man, I gotta have nerves of steel out there. I think I handled it pretty well.
What do you think is the biggest thing that hurt you on the show?
Biggest thing that hurt me on the show, I think there's two things. One being my lack of, not say lack of, but my My cardio wasn't up to speed. Me being a bodybuilder, I don't run a lot. So, you know, a few weeks before I came to the show, I tried to train for it and got as much endurance as possible. But then secondly would have to be my choice of words from the show were, I would say, maybe misconstrued or I didn't explain myself good enough. But probably those two things.
There was quite the reaction on social media last night when you made the comment that knowledge means nothing.
Yeah, you know what? Unfortunately, it was cut out my explanation to Patrick. I meant to say that, you know, Michael Jordan didn't need to know the history of the NBA to shoot a jump shot. That's what I meant. You know, you don't have to know how to, you know, the history of something to be good at it. You know, when I was a kid and I grew up, you know, I didn't really know about many players in the NBA. I just knew the best ones. But what I did know is how to train and how to perform the right way, because I was good at basketball and other sports. But my knowledge of those sports was kind of lacking, but it didn't make me a bad player, if that makes any sense.
Do you think it hurt you more when it came to the audience or with the judges? Because Hulk Hogan in person, you know, in particular, was the one that really seemed offended by that.
Yeah, no, it definitely did hurt me, you know, to say that. Because, I mean, you know, I'm not saying I have a lack of passion for the WWE. I love the WWE. It's a fantastic business. But, you know, I guess taking it from Hulk Hogan, who he is, the history of this business, you know, of course, it would come off as something that, you know, was disrespectful. But I meant no disrespect in his regards.
You should have just started rattling off some of his title reigns if you knew them.
I know. But, you know, I mean, you know, to my rebuttal at the end there on Tuck Talk, I did say, hey, I know all of the superstars, you know, Ric Flair and, you know, HBK and Hogan. I know all of the great superstars of our time and, you know, previous in the past, which, you know, that's what I needed to know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's funny because I think a lot of people, after you made that comment, are like, oh, this guy doesn't know anything about this business.
He's right. I didn't mean that. Right.
But, I mean, you are a WWE fan. I mean, you watched as a kid, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I grew up in the age of, I'm 20 years old, so my favorite WWE superstar was Bo Goldberg when he was on his 101 streak. I mean, that's when I tuned in and I was like, this guy's an animal. I want to be like him. So from then on, of course, I watched it like with my father when I was younger, but I really got into it when I saw that type of human being just destroy people in the ring. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got into it like a lot of people did when it came to the Monday Night Wars, when it was WWE and WCW and things were at the height of the wrestling business.
Yeah, and I mean, absolutely. I mean, I had the WWE Network at home. I know the history of the WWE and WCW. I can tell you all that. You know what I mean? How it went back and forth, you know, with Bischoff and everything. I can go on forever. I mean, but, you know, I think that, you know, I wish I, you know, if I could take it back, I would instead, I, you know, didn't know anything of the WWE, because I actually know quite a bit.
Well, it's funny, too, because we saw the comments that Patrick made to you, and that kind of evoked that, you know, comment from you. But how much is Patrick really like that all the time? Is he always, like, writing on people about, I know the history of the business better than all of you, and I follow wrestling and WWE a lot more than you guys?
Basically, yeah, he is. I mean, how that conversation started was in the mini camp. You know, he was in the ring during his little interview with the judges and said, you know, I'm upstairs trying to have a wrestling conversation. These guys don't know anything. Well, we were all up there trying to get to know each other and didn't want to talk about the history of the sport. You know what I mean? So it was like, dude, you know, it was kind of irritating. But, you know, in the house, I mean, Patrick is doing periscopes and he's filming the WWE Network with old matches and talking about them. Great. But that's on TV. You know, that we can all watch that. You know, we all have access to all that information, and like we all did, I sat there with him almost every single day watching everything he did.
Patrick is hardcore, man.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, I would never take away that kid's passion. That kid is super passionate about this business. I mean, like we all are, but he takes it to a different level. He grew up with it, and it was his life, and he actually has probably 6 months previous indie wrestling experience.
I was going to say, because I don't think a lot of people necessarily knew about that as well, because when we saw everybody starting to do the bumping drills and he did it so good and you know, Booker commended him on the way he could take a bump, I was like, well, this guy's got, you know, 6 months of experience or however much it is, because he's already been wrestling a little bit.
Oh yeah, I mean I think he's wrestling for almost half a year, and what he didn't want to divulge that information because he didn't want to see to give himself a leg up on the competition. But then again, all of our challenges weren't really wrestling oriented.
Yeah.
So it didn't really matter. But when it came to the bump in the ring, when I saw him take it, I was like, "Come on, man! Like, you look like Booker T taking one of those, dude."
What was it like going up on the top?
Oh man, going on that top rope, I'm not gonna lie, I'm 6'4", 250 pounds. I'm not a small guy, nor I'm a very, very large guy like Josh, but it's scary, man. I mean, at that top rope, well, I think the top rope from the mat is what, about 4.5 feet? And mm-hmm. then at the top of my head, that's almost 12 feet. So, you know, I was nervous as heck.
Before the first person did that off the top rope, did you guys know that was a padded ring?
I was the first person.
Right. Did you know it was a padded ring?
Yes and no. When I was on the top, I found out it was more padded than the other one. Number one, because the mat was a different color, and number two, I saw someone standing in the corner and it was caved in. So I was like, oh, okay, you know. But I wasn't actually afraid because I almost drowned the previous day in the water. So I was like, I'm fine. You know, it's not alligator infested ring, so I'm good.
Okay, so tell me what it's like when they take you out and you guys are wondering, I don't even know where we're going to go or what they have in store for us, and you're basically in front of a swamp, and they say, hey, you guys are going to be going swimming across this with whatever creatures are in this thing, and you're going to go over to this airboat and have to get a championship belt and come back. Well, what was it like even just going out there and having everything explained?
I mean, my heart dropped. I was like, you got to be kidding me. You know, there's... You know, I look at ZZ and I said, ZZ, is there really alligators in here? And he's like, yeah, oh yeah, 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 uh-huh. And I'm like, dude, any advice in the water? And he's like, don't make too much noise, man. I'm like, what? I'm like, and then, you know, I'm looking at Booker T and like they're holding the alligator and I see the snake and also the alligator head pops up. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. I can't swim, literally cannot swim. So I just try to psych myself up. I'm like, all right, man, let's just do it, you know.
Did WWE have anybody there just in case that alligator got a little feisty?
You know what? I mean, they had one lifeguard, which saved me. You know, I think they did, but they didn't really point them out and said, hey, you know, these are the guys who couldn't save you from an alligator attack. But...
How do you think Booker would have done if he was the person that had to compete in that?
He wouldn't have done well at all. No way.
He's a big guy, and I don't know what his swimming prowess is either. So.
Yeah, yeah, no, that or Billy. I mean, Billy's actually probably my size, and, you know, I mean, I don't think he would swim well, but he does live in Florida, so I can't say that for sure.
Right. So we see the different personalities that are obviously, you know, in the house and how they're displayed on TV, and, you know, we mentioned, you know, Patrick and what he's doing, and then we all saw Diana, and Tanner doesn't seem like he's the most well-liked guy. Who's the one that really came across the most accurate, you think, in what we saw on TV and how people maybe have a dislike for them?
Two people would be the accuracy. Actually, almost everyone did. Josh came out exactly accurate. He's a great guy. You know, he's funny, great personality. But the one that really came across as exactly how she is Diana. There was no switch between TV and reality.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing is that you got picked. Were you surprised that when you guys go up there? Because I know they, you know, Jericho even put you on the spot saying, which of these two women do you think are going to get voted off? And you had said Diana. So were you surprised that, considering that everything we had already seen and there's a lot of people there in the house that didn't like her, that she was the one that was staying and you were the one that was going home?
Yeah, I mean, I was actually pretty shocked. You know, she didn't really exemplify what I would consider someone who really wanted to be there. If that makes any sense. I mean, you know, we all make sacrifices in the show, you know, in coming on this show and Tough Enough, you know, with leaving family. And of course I lost my job to be here. And she would complain the entire time because she got to plan her wedding. It was really very irritating. I mean, to everyone in the house, because they all made sacrifices.
So what's next for you? Are you going to try to get your job back or go back into that line of work?
Well, I mean, I have a multitude of options. I will probably either get back in the industry I've worked in, which wouldn't be difficult for me to do. But I would really love to make a career in the WWE. I actually fell in love with it, being around the Performance Center, feeling the energy and the camaraderie and all of I love athletics. So, I mean, it's like me being back in college basketball. You know what I mean? It's just like the competition aspect, you know, thriving to be the best and entertaining people. I mean, I really fell in love with it.
So what do you think is the next step for you? If you decide to continue to pursue a goal towards WWE, how would you, what do you think the plan would be to try to do that?
Well, I mean, yeah, and I don't really know how to do so. You know what I mean? I don't know the steps to take to get into the WWE. No one's given me the instruction manual yet, unfortunately. if I have a chance to do for a tryout or be developmental, I would definitely do that for sure.
So tell me a little bit about your acting career too, because I was looking at some of the things you've appeared in. You were in John Wick with Keanu Reeves.
Yes. I was actually the Russian guard for Alfie Allen, which played Yusuf in the movie. We shot. I was in the final big action scene where they're in the safe house, and I grab him, run down the stairs. While everyone's getting shot and cars blow up, and then I eventually Keanu Reeves shoots me in the head. So I did that. It was an amazing experience.
Keanu Reeves shot everybody in the head in that movie.
Yeah, pretty much killed everyone.
Well, it's funny because I saw that movie last year and I was pleasantly surprised at how good it was. And the funny thing is that I just DVR'd it the other night. I think it was on HBO or something. So now I definitely have to go back and look out for you on there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was surprised how good it was, too. I mean, it was his best movie since The Matrix, and I arguably one of the best action movies I've seen in years.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're going to do a sequel to it now.
Yep, and unfortunately, I can't come back from the dead to do
yeah.
it, so, you know, or I would.
How often do you get acting opportunities?
Before I started acting, I was a fitness model with a company in New York City. And I did, editorials and stuff on different types of fitness companies. But they're kind of sporadic, if that makes any sense. I mean, they're all depending on the look they want. I basically got one every 6 months in the last 2 years.
Cool, man. Well, best of luck going forward. Sorry to see that you're gone from the show. I know that can be tough. But by the way, do you think there's a chance that you'll be invited back on the show before the season wraps up?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if that's a possibility or if they have that in the cards. It would be cool. I would definitely take the opportunity to redeem myself. If the opportunity presents itself, then, I would. But I'm not sure at this point.
Maybe they'll invite everybody that got voted off to come back and smack talk people before like the final round or something.
That would be awesome. I would love to do that for sure.
I'll bet you would. Alex, thanks for the time, man. I really appreciate it. And best of luck going forward. And I'll be looking out for you in the movies and maybe in the wrestling ring in the near future.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Joining me now, Scott Fishman, contributor to the Miami Herald and also with ChannelGuideMagazine.com. He's keeping busy, covering anything and everything going on with wrestling, but mostly WWE. And he was actually in attendance in Orlando, made the trip from South Beach up to Orlando to witness TNA's Slammiversary in person. Was it worth the trip?
I may get some hate on Twitter, but I actually enjoyed the show and I had a good time, as you did, I'm sure. I mean, I think it was a solid effort by the talent. I think the problem was... Oh, I guess we'll get into it as far as the show itself.
Well,
yeah, in short, I had a good time, and I thought it was a good show, and everyone worked hard on the show.
For me, it's a little bit of an incomplete, because I was only there for half of the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, the X-Division, the X-Division matches are always good, and that was what kicked the show off.
Right.
And I loved the fact that they had a Make-A-Wish kid kind of before the festivities got underway. They brought him out to kind of like... they introduced him, and then he got to walk kind of like the aisle, the entranceway.
Sure.
So that was a cool moment. So that's some things that, you don't hear about it with all the, the dark cloud that seems to be under, with TNA.
Well, the thing that I would hope that nobody would begrudge that company is the talent, I think, has always worked hard and continues to. So when people speak out against that company, I hope it's not because of the talent, because those guys bust their humps. I mean, there's a lot of effort there, and those guys are trying to do the best that they can for the most part, if not for all of them. I think where all the problems are and where anybody's dislike of the company should be centered is around management. And there's only so much you can do when you are a talent. You need a place to work, and you're under their umbrella right now, and they get lumped into that. And I think many times it can be pretty unfair, because when you're talking about TNA, they want to stick up for what they're a part of, but at the same time, I mean, there's problems.
Yeah, of course. I'm not going to ignore the problems, and people think that, you know, oh, you're, you know, how can you watch this product when you know every, you know, all this stuff is going on? I'm like, because I'm a fan of the workers. I mean, like you said, it's not their fault. I mean, they're doing their job. They're performers in the ring. Their job is to entertain the crowds and put on good matches and do what they're, you know, do what they're told. And I think they deliver that on, you know, more often than not. I've enjoyed their shows. They've had good matches on their shows, and I've enjoyed their I enjoyed the pay-per-view, like we said. And everyone works so hard there. Like, can you imagine doing 5 days straight of television tapings and trying to put on good matches, you know, during all those shows, and, you know, putting your best foot forward, and especially knowing all this stuff, you know, all this negativity that's out there, and just being in that locker room. I mean, it kind of, you know, so much wondering about what's going to happen with their Destination America, what's going to happen with Global Force Wrestling, why is Jeff Jarrett here? You know, every week it seems like there's something going on. And, you know, the minute I tweet something positive about TNA, I get told, oh, do you know what's going on? I mean, how could you not, you know... And I just, it kind of gets annoying. I mean, as far as, I mean, all the internet is such negativity. So I'm trying to be a little bit positive and focus on the positive that, you know, what's going on there. And then I get like attacked for it, or, you know, TNA blows and things. And it's just funny, because a lot of people that say that, they probably don't even watch the product, or have, you know, they have their credit. Like, I, even some of my friends are like that. Like, they have a criticism about it, but they don't watch the show. So I really don't take their opinion seriously.
Well, everybody can follow you on Twitter. It's at SM Fishman. And basically, this has been going on for a little while now, but especially the other night, where you are somebody, and I don't blame you, and I try not to be too negative when I'm on Twitter. I try to be more positive, but I'll definitely take some jokes, and I try not to be too much of a hater, but you are typically trying to be very positive. So you're not going to say something that, number one, it's everything you're saying is honest. It's how you really feel. And if there's something that's truly negative, you probably are just not going to tweet about it. But there's been a big...
Well, there's been... Well, that's not necessarily true. Like, for example, when the Destination America announcement was made, I don't think it was right that the, you know, as far as we know, that the talent wasn't communicated it, and there's no communication
right
with talent and how they handle those situations. So I was critical of that. So there is some things there and there, but... You know, other things are, you know, you report things, other people report things, and it's my Twitter page to do whatever I want with it. And mm-hmm. If people don't like it, I don't know, understand why they still feel the need to follow me and then criticize me about it.
Yeah, I mean, you're critical about some things, but I mean, you're not trying to take pot shots or take jokes at some of the talent or things like that, like some people will be prone to do, or really take it to another level, where I think when you're criticizing people or being critical, you know, there's a reason for it. Some other people, they're taking it to an nth degree with how severe the criticism is.
Yeah, like, you know, I make fun jokes here and there, but they're not hateful or anything, like talking about, you know, somebody's family, you know, this is people that have families and things and trying to earn a living, and they're talking about, you know, the jokes about, you know, paychecks and things going on. I'm sure it's not funny to the people that are owed money, or if they are owed money, I don't know.
Right.
But just things like that, and I just think it's wrong, you know, especially with them, people celebrating the ideas of their failures. They're like, they deserve it. You know, it's their fault. They're, you know, they deserve it. I mean, it's not everybody. It's decision makers, for sure. But there's other people there that work for that company that try to earn a living. And you know, everyone's lumped together, like you mentioned.
You're getting besieged on all fronts, because people are going after you for being positive on Twitter when it comes to some of the things going on with TNA. And then you had to tell the story about you were at Slammiversary and there were some interesting people that were sitting around you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we were sitting in the so-called VIP area, or me and my friend who was sitting with me, and like almost the whole show. It was almost like they were, I felt like I was, it was like a live, what I was dealing with on Twitter. It's like just bashing everything, like just the matches in the ring, that they were boring and long. I'm like, but I'm thinking that these are VIP guys. These guys are there, you know, because they want to be there, and they're so-called fans of professional wrestling, and all they're doing is, like, bringing down the entire show. Like, there was very limited positivity coming from them, like, the entire time, so that was kind of annoying to be sitting next to them, but it's funny to me that people go to the shows just so they can make fun of it. It's like Mystery Science Theater or something.
Right, and they were sitting, like, in the sixth row on the floor, and they're complaining about their seats, weren't they?
Yes, they were. The people around me, they were trying to switch seats with other people, and I was like, what is going on here? I'm like, how much closer do you want to get? I mean, there were a few people in the, you know, ahead of us that were, like, standing a lot of times, so that was kind of annoying, but they're excited at, you know, what was going on, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that was the reason. It was even before the show, and throughout the show, it was like musical chairs,
right,
at certain points where people were, like, moving, trying to get a better seat, and then complaining about where they were sitting. I mean, I don't understand people.
I'm not trying.
People just like to complain for the sake of complaining.
Oh, yeah. I'm not trying to pick on anybody here, and to each their own. But I'll tell you what, man. The fans of, there's a lot of UK fans of TNA, and they are so loyal, because there was a group, probably, what would you say, about 10 people that I think bought a VIP package and came from the UK. And the only reason we know this is because while we were leaving, we saw them standing around, and, you know, they had other things that they were going to get as part of their VIP package. But I mean, you could hear them talking, and you're like, it's not like these are people that are living here in the United States. You knew that they flew over for this event, and it's just amazing to see the loyalty.
There's a few that I recognize by face that I've seen at other events. Like, I remember when the TNA was down here at lockdown, there was a lot of international fans, and a lot of them were familiar faces from this. So I think one or two, I saw pictures on Twitter or something where they were at that New England Fan Fest. So they're basically going to all these different things. I mean, it's like, how do you have this much money to be able to do this? But it's amazing to see, like, what would happen if the roles were reversed and all these stuff was happening in the UK? Would you go over there and fly over there all the time, you know, a couple times a year?
You can't afford that. With the value of the dollar compared to the pound, there's no way.
Right.
I mean, they
so I think, yeah, that's probably the reason, but
they've got some
dedication. That's why they go to the UK every year and they do their tour.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they've got some disposable income, so they're doing pretty good, I guess, but
they have a huge fan base there. I mean,
absolutely. You know, and that's what I wonder about with TNA, because we can all sit here and wonder what is going on, and we'll get into this in a minute about what we think is actually happening. But, you know, when they're, if everything goes the way that we think with Destination America and they're off, you know, that channel coming into September, I don't know if they could survive. But if they were going to change kind of their formula of how they do things, I would think that they'd almost have to center everything around their UK audience, right?
I mean, yeah, well, not only that, but you look at all their clearances. They also not only have clearance in the UK, but they have, you know, India and all these other countries. So, you know, there's a fan base all over, you know, and even Canada, the Fight Net. I don't know. My question for you, I wasn't even talking about this, is the Fight Net, because they had a contract to air Impact, you know, similar in a similar situation as Destination America. So no one really talks about how that deal is going as far as airing the shows. So if Destination America doesn't air TNA, will it still air in Canada? I'm not sure about that.
Well, the whole thing with that deal, though, and all these other deals, when you talk about India and these other markets, is, and we don't know this, how much money are they making on this? Are those really valuable deals to where if they pare down enough and they're not, you know, they have to pick and choose where they do tapings at and how much money they spend, can they still be a viable company money-wise off those deals? Because those are very, you know, those deals aren't making them much money, then they ain't going to matter.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? It might be a blessing if they leave Destination America, if they're able to get another TV deal that's more viable. I mean, they're a viable property as far in the sense that they do draw viewers in. I mean, even on Destination America, people have found it. I mean, not to the extent of Spike TV, but being the highest rated show on that network, I mean, I don't know if that's saying much or not, but they are drawing ratings there, you know, enough to warrant them being the highest rated. So I don't know if Destination America would drop them, you know, seeing what kind of audience they have. We're not in the. That's another thing. We're not in the meetings. We don't know what is going on. We're just assuming because nobody's, no one at TNA is saying anything. No one at Destination America is saying anything. So all we can do is just assume or draw our own conclusions until they make some sort of announcement that's being made. You know, moving forward, but you know, they're, you know, who knows how this partnership's going to go moving forward until they actually make an announcement in the next couple weeks. And I think the next set of tapings will be very telling on what direction or what's going to be going on and who's going to be at these tapings. So I'm really anxious and interested to see what's going to happen later this month when they tape the rest of their shows going into, you know, into the fall.
Right. One of the things, though, that I wonder about when it comes to TNA and Destination America is how much money TNA is getting in this deal, because maybe it'll be something where, I mean, that's got to be like a breaking point where if Destination America is paying them whatever amount, and it's lower than what Spike was paying them, and I don't know how much money they're getting, but maybe Destination America just says, it's just not worth it. And people say, well, they're spending on Ring of Honor. I don't know if they're giving Ring of Honor any money or what it is. If they're giving the money, it's very, very low. It might even just be like a barter deal where basically you're on that station for free and you split the ad time.
Right.
Because remember, that's not first run programming.
That's
a replay of the show from Sinclair. And for Ring of Honor, they can say, okay, we're not making any money off of this. We're making very little, but it's worth it just for exposure alone.
Yeah, I mean, when you combine the viewers of Destination America with the viewers of Sinclair, and you got a pretty decent rating there of you know, a penetration level of fans that are watching the show every week.
And that might be the route that Destination America wants to go if they're going to carry wrestling and say, we just don't want to spend any money or very little on it, and we feel like we can still get some programming with it. So I don't know. You know, it's funny you talk about those next set of tapings, and that is going to be a big tell, because all the talk right now and the belief is that with Jeff Jarrett being involved, that they're doing an invasion angle. Global Force Wrestling is going to invade TNA, and like Magnus, who's, you know, he hasn't signed a deal, but is going to be working dates for Global, is going to be a part of that. And I think James Storm would be a part of that. And I think Chris Mordeski, who was Chris Masters with WWE, he's going to be a part of that. So I think that's the route. But I don't know if Jeff Jarrett has talked with Destination America or what is going on. But I still get this sense, and you tell me if you feel the same way, that, you know, coming into September, like 1 week, it's going to be TNA Wrestling. And the following week, it's going to be Global Force Wrestling.
I mean, I definitely can see that as being a potential idea. I mean, I think, you know, TNA has this kind of dark cloud as far as being a brand. And I've always been confused, even, you know, Jim Ross mentioned on his podcast, being confused of whether you want to call it Impact Wrestling or TNA. So maybe rebranding is the way to go, so they can be have this fresh look and fresh idea, so people don't associate TNA with, you know, everything else that they've been associating with it, with, you know, the management, and what's going on, whatever's
right.
happening. But I definitely, you know, there's definitely more to the story with Jeff Jarrett, obviously, because, you know, they have this King of the Mountain Championship, and then, you know, this is being taped right before Impact tonight, their big Impact, and I think Mike Tenay is sitting down with Jeff Jarrett, you know, during the show, where he's supposed to give some insight on, you know, moving forward, the future of, you know, Global Force Wrestling and everything like that. So I don't think TNA would be moving, you know, in this direction with Jeff Jarrett and giving Global Force Wrestling the rub if there's not more to the story than just giving, you know, Jeff Jarrett, you know, an honor and, mm-hmm. and having him have that last match. I definitely, hopefully it does lead to something, because I think an invasion angle would be exciting, even though, you know, Global Force doesn't really have, you know, a roster where you're associating, oh, that's Global Force Wrestling. So it wouldn't have the same impact as, say, if Ring of Honor, you know, invaded TNA, because then you would know that these are Ring of Honor guys. But it could be like an invasion, like, you know, similar to the NWO, in fact, like where you have these guys who are jumping in that, you know, you don't know what they're part of, and they're just forming this group. But I don't think they would make Global Force Wrestling kind of like its own faction. It would probably be more like, you know, this company that Jeff Jarrett now is moving forward. But there's an exciting potential about that. I mean, well, I think it would generate some buzz and some fresh matchups. And I think I miss Jeff, quite frankly, I miss Jeff Jarrett on TV. So I think that's a good thing, too.
Well, I think the thing about that, though, is it comes down to what talent are you able to use? Because that's what's going to make an invasion angle interesting, possibly, is what talent is involved. And there's some good guys that are there, but I don't know if there's really that name or two that would really make it stand out, say, now that's really exciting. And it, you know, we don't even know. I mean, we believe that's the direction they're going, and who knows what the storyline could be in that. But you know what one of the weirdest things in all of this is, too, though? So TNA Slammiversary, okay? So obviously that is a TNA show, and Jeff Jarrett, who's no longer with the company and is promoting Global Force Wrestling, is the guy that comes in. So he should be the bad guy on TNA turf, but yet he wins and then celebrates with his family in the ring while the TNA crowd celebrates him.
Yeah, that's not the way. I mean, if they're going to do an invasion angle, they got to draw heat somehow and make it a portrayal of something. So, yeah, like you said, I have a feeling, though, the problem will be is if he comes up and brings up all this stuff about TNA and blah, 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 people, yeah, he'll be the face in all this. Like, TNA will be the heel, and they're the company that's being invaded, so people will be excited about that happening.
Right, and the other weird thing is, too, that supposedly Dixie Carter contacted Ring of Honor and said, would you be interested in doing an invasion angle? And they said, no. So then she contacted Jeff Jarrett and said, let's do an invasion angle, and we'll put you into the Hall of Fame, and we'll do this King of the Mountain match. And they said, all right. So, you know, that makes it weird if in fact there is something where Global Force is the one taking over that slot, or that's going to be the brand going forward, because she's the one that invited it. So I have no idea what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, isn't Jarrett also still a minority stakeholder in
TNA?
He is.
He owns,
like, makes it even more interesting. And the fact that they actually have a piece of merchandise now they're selling from Jeff Jarrett on the TNA website.
Right. So, I mean, he owns about 10% of the company, I believe. That's my understanding. It's right around 10%. Give or take a little bit.
Part of it.
Yes. So, I mean, well, the thing is, too, like, I want Jeff to do well. But we don't know what Global is. Like you said, we don't know the talent. We don't know what kind of shows they want to put on. We don't know the direction. The only thing we really know is they've announced a few names for some dates. And if and when they have TV, that Chael Sonnen is going to be a part of that. That's it.
Yeah, how does that fit in? Yeah, it's very confusing, especially, you know, they have their own set of TV tapings coming up. So that makes it even more confusing. And, you know, they're touring, so TNA's not touring. The fact that they're doing the baseball, you know.
Right.
Stadiums, and you know they're using different talent for those. It's not even a lot of the same. It's a lot of the same talent, but also some different ones. And they're bringing in legends in, and so it's almost being built as like an independent show at the beginning phases of this, and then moving forward to see how it evolves and what it becomes.
Right.
But did you hear? I mean, I don't know if this is true or not, but that Pro Wrestling Illustrated is now even acknowledging TNA's World Championship as a World Championship.
Yes, I did hear that.
But what's the mindset that I don't know much about that? What is the mindset behind that?
Because of the management, and they think that company is going to go out of business soon.
They just think the
company has been so devalued when it comes to management and how everything's been run, and the lack of interest in that company now when it that their belt doesn't deserve that recognition.
Wow. I don't know if that's ever happened before. Even, you know, you could say the same about WCW and mismanagement and whatnot.
Right.
But wow.
It's crazy.
Ouch.
Situation, man. You know, I mean, this is one of the weirder things that we've seen in a little while. And then there's so many, you know, balls that are floating. You talk about Jeff Jarrett. If they do an invasion angle in his, you know, those Global Force Wrestling TV tapings that are coming up in Las Vegas, those coincide with the TNA tapings. Like, they're done at the same time. Now, mind you, there's not...
Oh, they are, okay.
Oh, yeah,
that's
but...
That makes it even more interesting.
Well, the weird thing is, though, it's not like Global Force is doing 9 days of tapings like TNA is. TNA is going to do 9 days, but they have a day off in the middle of there somewhere, so it's 8 days.
Insane.
Well, you know what, though? Here's the thing, okay? You mentioned they worked 5 days in a row, and then now they're going to do nine. Okay, go back to years ago. That's really not that insane, because guys did that all the time. And even
True.
WWE does that now. Think about it, because they do a house show on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Raw's on Monday, SmackDown's on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's true. And I think I would prefer that schedule as far as, like you mentioned, we were talking about this a couple days ago, is the fact that they get to be in the same spot. They don't have to be at the airport. You know, they don't have to, like, every single day they're in the same spot in Orlando. And
you're in town already.
And
they pay for your transportation. They pay for your hotel. But obviously, you're not making as much money as you would if you were working for WWE. It's just they're covering some of those other things that are necessary. But I don't know. I mean, the whole thing is just extremely strange. I mean, We'll see what goes down. I mean, I don't know what we're going to learn from this interview with Jeff Jarrett tonight. It's not like you can say, oh, by the way, I'm taking over their time slot. And I don't even know if Destination America would be interested in that. I mean, there's some talk now that, you know, there was a Destination America rep at that Live Impact last week, and that person was
pissed. Jarrett coming on board or something.
That Jarrett, dude, I mean, none of the wrestlers knew it. I mean, and you even saw, like, Jeff did a video with Karen, kind of like their return to TNA, and they showed them sitting in the car in the back lot waiting to go in, and they were sitting there with their kids waiting for the cue to, all right, time to get out of the car, and let's walk in the building and go straight to the ring. So
yeah, and did Kurt Angle even know? I mean, that's even,
I don't think Kurt even knew. If anybody knew, maybe Kurt knew, maybe just a couple people knew, but like the vast majority of the locker room did not know. And
I mean, with that sort of thing, though, as long as it, I mean, with that sort of, I don't know if that the talent needs to be known about that situation, but when it comes to, like, other important things, like business things that affect them, you know, their well-being and things like that.
Well, I think the reason why that becomes a little bit of a big deal with those guys is because things like this have happened all the time, and I think there is a distrust with management about the way things have gone and other things that have been hidden. And there's been things that have been unnecessary that they've tried to hide. Like, remember back in the day when, oh, Abyss could be leaving, could be going to WWE, and then they hit him in a car, you know, and then he came running in for a, you know, he did a run-in or whatever, and he was back with the company. And there's been times that they've done things that are unnecessary, or the times that they promoted, we've got this huge surprise and this huge thing that's going to change the business, and it's, you know, just flopped. And
yeah,
you know,
the problem with TNA has always been the consistency. I mean, they haven't had consistency with time slots. They haven't had consistency with storylines a lot of times. So people have been burned so many times before that, which I understand. I totally understand. I mean, mentality of a lot of people as far as that goes. And you look at the TNA history and how many all these storylines that you said happened and fizzled out at the end, or they made these huge promises and they weren't, you know, that nothing really happened with it.
Yeah, it's
so they
it's
set a precedent for themselves. They set it up for themselves. Like, how do you change people's minds? How do you change people's perceptions? And they've tried, and they try, and then something happens where they burn people again. So it's just hard.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I don't even know who's going to be around when it comes to these tapings and everything. Like, you know, I mentioned those guys that are going to be gone. They're not going to be a part of it, or at least they're going to be doing stuff from Global. And like, Austin Aries isn't there anymore, and I don't know.
I mean, when we say they're not there anymore, like, people don't understand. It's like, are they really gone, or are they going to be called in to do some shots? You know,
they could be called and said, yeah, they could be called to do that, but it doesn't mean they have to do it, obviously. But
right, they're not part of the official part of the roster. But does that even mean anything anymore, being a part of a TNA roster? Like,
probably not. I mean,
because they've already filmed all their TV shows. They film a couple of days of TV, and then you're done for the couple of weeks.
Right. I mean, I'm on pins and needles as to who's going to be leaving with the World Championship at tonight's show, so.
Right. I know. I wonder what is going to happen. I mean, it sucks, though, about the tape, you know, being taped. That's another thing. I mean, it sucks that they're taping so many in advance. Kind of the excitement level is, you know, isn't there as opposed to live TV. Like, it's hard for me to watch SmackDown even every week, you know, even though just the feeling of being taped. I mean, I don't read spoilers, you know, although I do know some, you know, obviously some things. But I don't, because you watch, you know, you stay on social media. That's what you get for being on social media.
Right.
But yeah, there's just an element of being taped and being live, and it's just not that feeling of, I need to watch this show. But they did such a good job of building the show tonight, but I feel like this should have been the pay-per-view show, and what happened at Slammiversary, I don't know.
The title match should have been on the Live Impact last week.
Yeah, I don't know whose idea it was, and it's the tapings of schedule is just so weird in itself.
Right,
like having to tape.
That was
challenging to be in TNA right now.
Yeah, that was something that I can't really blame TNA for, because they got put in that corner by Destination America when they changed nights for them, when they moved them from Friday to Wednesday.
They moved them again, which is a good idea, though. They should have been on Wednesday from the beginning. I don't know whose idea it was to put them on Friday nights. I don't know.
Oh, I totally agree with you there. And it's cost them, because, you know, the putting them on Friday night and changing networks obviously was going to hurt. And then it's hurt again by moving them to Wednesdays. And some people, I think, just get tired of it, saying, you know, I can't find him, or I'm sick of moving nights or following around, or I'm doing other things on that night. So, you know, it's a tough situation for him.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to take a step back to take a step forward. So if something happens with Destination America and they get another network, I mean, maybe it was for the best. I don't know, but it's just interesting what a difference a couple months makes. They were so excited about Destination America, and they were so, like, gung-ho about it, and now everyone's, like, talking about them leaving within, you know, less than a year.
So let's talk about something you are excited about, I'm sure, and that is Tough Enough this year, right? Yeah.
I'm a sucker for reality shows, whether they are like those kind of shows, like Tough Enough, Total Divas.
Total Divas, man, I can't watch that show.
Really? I don't know.
I've never watched it. Can't do it. Won't do it. We have a fan of ours every week is like, hey, man, so you excited about another season of Tough Enough? I'm like, I've never watched the damn show. I saw the clip of John Cena and Daniel Bryan doing lumberjack impressions that was online, but that's all I've seen is that 90-second clip.
I don't know. Me and my wife, we enjoy it. We like watching it. It's a good, you know what's scripted, what's not, but whatever. It's an entertaining show, I think. I mean, it's just a fun show to watch, I think. And it gives the girls some screen time, and, you know,
yeah, but it's all,
they don't get it.
But it's all fake. I mean, what I'm seeing on there, that's faker than what I'm seeing when they're on Raw.
I don't know. I would say it's a little bit better. I mean, there's some genuine moments, I would think. It can't be all scripted.
It's all crap. It's all crap.
You think it's all crap?
I can't watch. I mean, for some people that like it, that's fine, but it's not for me. I just can't do it. And then I mentioned Tough Enough. So they weren't thrilled with the rating last week because it was only like a third of what the previous season of Tough Enough had done. And so they put Raw, they put the Hulu 2-hour version of Raw on before it and hoping to spike the rating.
That, yeah.
And guess what? The rating went down again.
Oh, they already announced ratings from last night?
I'm looking at the rating right now. Last week was like 1.2 million and this week was 1.047. So it dropped, what is that, like 150,000 viewers? So,
I mean, I don't know. Do you think it has to do with the contestants? Because there's a lot of contestants on the show that I'm like, about.
I think the show's too confusing.
I think that makes the show.
I just think the show is too confusing, and they're juggling too many balls.
Yeah, it's a lot of... So I think they... I mean, it's basically a show that should have two shows in a week and squished into one night. Because you have the results... the same time as, you know, you're showing everything.
The thing is that we don't get enough time, I think, to really get to know the people involved. And even what we did get this week in getting to see what the participants are really like, all it was them fighting. You know, oh, you know what, Diana, she's a bitch. Oh, Tanner, all you do is talk about how impressive you are when you're doing these, how fast you could run and how good your cardio is. Oh, Patrick, you know, you love wrestling so much and you act like I don't know anything. And that's all it was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what can change to make it more exciting. I mean, I enjoy it. I mean, it's not one of my favorite seasons yet.
It's just the...
I miss the old Tough Enough is like... filmed in advance and it was like and they had no contact with anyone except them, and then
I think it's just backloaded when it comes to you've got a host and then a secondary host and Renee Young and then you've got the three judges. If they want
I'm saying it's like two I feel like a results show should be separate from the actual what you're seeing as far as what went on in the house for the week. I think it's almost unfair for the contestants in a way of like how do you show that within a short amount of time and then have the judges decide based on that who they're going to vote off.
And there's some backwards things that are on there too. Like, so they pick the final three, they go to commercial break, and then they come back and they go, okay, give your final plea on why you should stay.
Yeah, and then right after the third one, they close the voting. I'm like, what if someone really wanted to vote after hearing them?
Shouldn't the plea be done before the commercial break
so
that
totally
could possibly sway
you need
people?
Some time
I mean,
for the process.
You've got that going on then, and I know that they want to have some fun and do some wacky things, but what is being able to swim with alligators and snakes have to do with making it in the wrestling business.
It's just they're trying to be an entertainment show in addition to being.
Can't we find like an old timer to freaking stretch these guys and see how much pain they can
take? That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not enough. It hasn't been much wrestling. Like, they showed the bumping for like a little bit, but
right.
Like, that's the thing about the old Tough Enough show. Yeah, it was about other things, you had your issues and things of a reality show, but also you showed, them working out. You showed them working out in the ring a lot. You know how hard it is. I mean, they haven't really shown that much.
Can't we get like Bret Hart doing an impersonation of his dad stretching people in the dungeon? Yeah, give me a hand.
And we have Roman Reigns there, who basically did nothing. Basically.
He made one girl wet. That's what he did.
And then they censored it. Did you watch the Tough Enough talk where they censored that word wet?
I didn't see that. No.
Oh. I'm actually having more of a good time watching the Tough Talk with Miz than because it doesn't feel as rushed and it's kind of fun at points.
I should probably watch
improvisation.
That. Yeah, I mean, I mean, as soon as you saw Roman there, you knew the women were going to go nuts. And
I thought this week, what is Seth Rollins? I saw Seth Rollins.
Seth is on it this coming week. Yeah. I thought Hogan was going to get up and punch that kid Alex for saying that. Knowledge means nothing, and I was like,
The minute he said that on the show, I'm like, "You're gone! Like, how you're gonna piss so many people off on Twitter?" And
did you
see
social
media?
Social media lit up, and it's funny because so I talked to Alex since airing on this podcast with you here, and I asked him about that, and I go, "You should have seen the reaction on Twitter," and he just started laughing about it.
Yeah, like I mean, I get you have to know the whole history, but at least have some respect for it. I mean, he's basically like, "I don't care what happened."
And the funny thing is, he's actually a wrestling fan. Like, he watched as a kid growing up with his dad.
Why didn't he say that? Like, he didn't say that. He just came off really badly when I don't understand when he had to fight for himself, saying, I do watch it. I'm a huge fan of this person. I love it. I mean, I'm sorry. I may have come off on television.
You're a big fan of Patrick on that show, though, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, he's a, like, one of the things, I mean, he's a fan, and you mentioned that he already had wrestling experience, which I didn't know about.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that before we started taping, that people were wondering, like, wow, look at how good this guy is as a bumper. Like, Booker T was impressed. I'm like, he's been doing the indies for more than 6 months now, man.
Damn. And for me, if it goes by just personality-wise, I think, I know he annoys you, but Aziz just cracks me up.
He's worthless.
I mean, I don't know. He oozes with personality. It's just the other stuff, the wrestling stuff, which kind of what you need.
You know what? If people didn't think that guy was so goofy or, and I'm not saying he's dumb, I'll say goofy or just kind of unique, then they would, if he wasn't getting a break for that, they'd be calling that dude a massive pervert.
Because of what he said about pie and
between that and being in the room with the women and then taking off his pants in the spa with the girls the week before. I mean, all those things. Like, he's getting a pass on all of that. Can you imagine if that was one of the other guys that did that? They'd be like, oh, look at this guy.
Yeah, I guess. But one thing that annoys me on the show is that Diana, I mean, I know she's doing, the challenge stuff, but they give her way too much screen time.
Well, that's because she is a heat magnet.
I guess that's the way I get noticed. I feel bad for Sarah Lee, who, for me, she just comes off as,
genuine.
Has that, like, AJ quality.
Yep.
Where you, like, that girl next door, and she kind of, like, but she doesn't really stand out, though. That's the problem.
No, she doesn't like getting in arguments. That's why. She's not a fan of reality television, either. She's just part of the show.
Yeah, but she seems like a type that would work hard and actually do good if it wasn't a reality show.
You know who Diana is? She's X-Pac. She's getting that X-Pac heat right there, man.
Oh, yeah.
She is, man.
She definitely is. But it's getting her through. I mean, if they're talking about you.
What did you think of Raw from Monday night? Because, and the reason I ask is because we didn't have Triple H. We didn't have Stephanie. We didn't have Brock. I thought it was a good show. Not great, but I thought it was a good show. But yet, the rating did not reflect that because they did, I guess it's the second lowest non-holiday Raw rating since 1997 with no competition. There was no NFL football. There was no NBA finals. There was nothing.
I think it boils down to a lot is you're showing the same matches all the time. I mean, the tag match that was announced. Like, how many times have we seen a tag match and all these you're not giving anybody a reason to what's different about this show that we haven't seen on SmackDown or Raw prior. And I think that's been the problem is you know, it's been a little, I think that's a big thing that,
How much do you think it hurt them that they announced the main event in advance, like they probably should, but involved Kane?
What do you mean?
Did that hurt people? Like when they said, join us this week for Raw, where the main event will be Kane and Seth Rollins against Dean Ambrose and
Roman
Reigns.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. It's the fact that, they just put the same match. It's always the same match. I know you have 52 weeks of television to produce, and that's going to be challenging. But why is it always like a tag match or some, or all these, the same guys are involved in, like you said, Kane, like for me, has not been relevant in some time. And I'm a huge fan of Kane, like, and his longevity in the career, have huge respect for him.
Yep.
I just, in this, I think he's overstayed his welcome in this kind of storyline. So I'm hoping it's going to evolve where he's going to come back as, you know, with the mask and the big red machine. And I think fans will get really behind it. That's what I thought the direction they were going in. I mean, maybe at one point they thought about it. I don't know if they're still going in that direction. But there's something definitely missing with that. And, I mean, in that kind of situation, the scenario, I mean, I enjoy Jamie Noble. And I mean, who would have thought Jamie Noble in 2015 would, you know, be so kind of like part of the WWE programming in Mercury.
Right. And I mean, I have a lot of respect for Kane as well. I just think that the audience has grown tired of him. And if he's in a speaking role or something, I think that he is perfectly fine. But to have him in the ring every week and as a regular, I just think that that's something that needs to be carefully looked at. And I don't know if they should be doing that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, seeing him as a viable main eventer, yeah, I think it's come a time where you need to start, you know, moving people down the card and changing things up and having different matches. Like, what would happen? What do you think would have happened ratings wise had they put the main event being Cesaro against John Cena? I mean, instead of, I think that would have been more exciting for me because that match was amazing.
It was,
and the fans were so into it that if that was the last match on the card, I mean, I don't know. I think people would have been more into it.
I'm wondering, what do you think had more an effect on that rating? Do you think it was that what we just talked about, and then, you know, they announced who was going to be in that main event match, or was it the opening segment? Because I know some people didn't like that opening segment. I did not have a problem with it. Maybe that's just because I have a fondness for, like, game shows and, like, The Price is Right and stuff like that, and I'm a big fan of Seth Rollins, you know, but there were some people that might have just said, like, I don't like the segment. This shouldn't be on a wrestling show. I'm turned off by it. And if this is what they're going to do, then I'm not going to watch this entire show.
I mean, that's another thing. The format is always the same. They always start off more times than not with a long talking segment. And I mean, I actually had no problem with it either. I thought it was funny. And maybe they could have got Bob Barker to come out and add to it, but I don't know. But like you said, I mean, I don't know if that was necessarily the problem It's just the problem for that night. I think it's a problem in general is they stick to the same format. People come to expect, you know, things like, if you would make it more exciting if you started the match off, you know, the night off with a match. Maybe they should do some experimenting about, you know,
maybe they should do the U.S. Open Challenge to open the show one time.
Yeah, something like that. Just don't even say, hey, welcome to Raw, and then you have then you have John Cena in the ring or something, and just starting the match, and he's getting ready for an open challenge, and then have whoever comes out just come out. Like, don't give a reason for people to turn away or look at their phones, or because the minute somebody goes on a long diatribe about something, people are going to want to change the channel or look away. I think people are just trained to do that.
What do you think is missing right now from that show? Because I think when you look at it, when you don't have Brock Lesnar on that show, something is missing. Part of it is because they are trying to back off John Cena as a guy that they rely on as a main event talent. Like, he's still very high up. He's still very involved, but he's not going to be the world champion right now. I'm sure he's going to be world champion again, but he's not the focal point like he once was. And that could easily change. But what do you think is missing right now? Or what do you think is a problem that maybe is turning some people away?
Just the fact that, like I said, formats being the same, and I think the talent, fans are burned out about seeing a lot of the talent, and they're kind of hurting as far as on the roster, and, you know, they have some new guys that they're pushing, but that's the thing about NXT is every week you see different guys, and every, you know, they only have an hour, so it's just
a different show.
Moves quicker, And yeah. The show moves quicker, and I think the pacing of it is, makes it quicker and gives you a reason to watch. So WWE's missing. I mean, they're too busy. I don't know. You just have to give it a reason to watch the show. I think that's the main thing you want to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know what more compelling storylines, and instead of focusing on the same one every week as the Authority, and not having Brock Lesnar there, I guess doesn't help them, doing them any favors. And he's the focal point of the show, is having Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins. And I mean, the U.S. Open Challenge is exciting, except for the fact that he's not going to lose the title leading up to facing Kevin Owens.
But at least he has really good matches.
Oh, amazing matches. And to show how good the matches are, even though you think or that he's not going to lose the title, you still, for that split second, think he's not going to kick out of some move or something. So just the fact that they got people invested in the audience and at home, I think, is amazing. Like, 2015 has been an amazing year of wrestling for John Cena. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to deny that, and it's a testament to him, and it's also a testament to the guys he's been working with.
Yeah, I think one of the
That's an issue. I think one of the best things of WWE TV today is Kevin Owens and John Cena. It's like the storyline has been great, and I think a part of the reason is because they're both on they're both be on TV. And I know Brock Lesnar can't be on every show and whatnot, but something has to be done involving that. We can't see Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, every week fight. Although I would love to see that. I enjoy seeing them fight, but.
Well, I think this is the problem of the way that they have done booking for a while. From a standpoint of, when you talk about that even-Steven booking, you get a win, I get a win, you get a win, I get a win. And it doesn't make anybody stand out as being special. And now it's coming back to hurt them because, hey, this guy is a star, but he's not a bigger star or that much special than this guy. He's not a special attraction because of the way that he is booked. John Cena, guess what? He's a special attraction because, he has these great, great abilities, but he was protected and he won a lot of matches, and rightfully so. Brock Lesnar, same thing. Special look, special guy, doesn't lose hardly ever. Plus, we don't see him that often as well. With so many other guys, it's that win one, lose one mentality, and it doesn't make anybody stand out as a real star.
Yeah, nobody's really breaking out. Everyone's kind of like in the background.
I mean,
they've done a good job with Kevin Owens right now and protecting him,
but he just lost his first match, and guess what? He got his heat back afterwards. And you can make the argument that, one, he shouldn't have lost that second match, or even they shouldn't have had that second match already, and it should have been held off until later to drag that out and build more anticipation for the second match.
Yeah, there should have been more time. I wouldn't have had a problem if they wrestled at Battleground and not wrestled at the last pay-per-view. Maybe have a different open challenge.
Right. I mean, something along those lines. But something has got to change. I mean, even look at, and it's funny, too, when you talk about watching Raw. I saw this somewhere, and I'd give them credit. I can't remember where I saw it from. But there was more promotion for the upcoming Terminator movie than there was for the WWE Network show from Tokyo on this coming Saturday.
Yeah, there wasn't much talk about that. Less surprisingly, they didn't promote it that much. I mean,
thank God they're not promoting who Brock Lesnar's facing, apparently.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they did that?
Watch, because it's Brock Lesnar, like you said, there's something special, and you just want to, whoever he's facing.
Can you imagine if you're just a casual fan and you're sitting there going, wow, man, Brock Lesnar is going to wrestle. I got to go out of my way to watch that. And then you tune in, whether live or a little bit later on the network, and they get to that match, and you're like, all right, here comes Brock Lesnar. Who's he going to face? And here comes Kofi Kingston. And you're like, what? Kofi Kingston?
I woke up at 5:30 in the morning for Brock Lesnar and Kofi Kingston. I think the main push that they're doing in the show isn't that match. It's the Owens and Finn Balor thing.
Well, it might go on last, but the only match that they're promoting on WWE television right now is Brock Lesnar's appearing, and he's wrestling. Against who?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I mean, he could be facing...
Tune in to find out.
Yeah, tune in to find out. But, I mean, I hope and I pray that they put Balor and Owens on last. They got to put that on last, right?
No, they have to. Finn Balor's history with Japan, I mean, it's got to happen.
Why do you think that they didn't either, A, have Balor live on Raw, or B, show some of the documentary that they did with him on Raw to introduce him to the Raw audience, which is different than the NXT audience? Because, I mean, there's a lot more people that watch Raw than NXT.
That's a good point. I mean, I loved the Finn Balor documentary. Like, the videos they were doing is amazing. Like, they're doing some amazing stuff. I would like to see them do more of that kind of things on the actual main roster. Giving a reason for people to care, giving them showing the journey that took to get to WWE and where they've been, that gets you emotionally invested in the show. So I think, yeah, you're right. I agree that I'm surprised they didn't show anything like that, or even barely mention anything about the Japan, especially during the match with Cesaro and Cena. Would have been a prime opportunity with him in commentary.
They could have done something, just something. Have him go out on stage and people say, "That's Finn Balor," and I don't know. They could have done something.
Yeah, it's hard for WWE in the sense that they have so many weeks of TV, and now they even have even more TV that they have to produce. So, you got to feel for them in that sense. So it's challenging time. It's the most challenging time because they don't have WCW to compete with, but they have so many other ways. They have technology to compete with. Like, so many people are on Facebook, or they're watching things on Netflix and Hulu, and they're watching things on their DVR, and so. Getting people to watch live TV with commercials is a hard thing to do.
It is, but I will say this, though, too. When it comes to why they didn't use Balor, they do... What's one of the biggest arguments we hear about Raw? And rightfully so. It's too long. It's 3 hours. They got to fill all this time. Well, there was an easy way to fill some time right there. I mean, they still don't promote NXT on Raw. They don't show, like, here's what happened last week on NXT in like a 60 or 90 second recap.
Yeah, they could do at least that. I mean, they used to promote them a little bit with the commercial or two.
Right. It's like, and you could do that at one point, and you can do a coming up this week on NXT. You can do that as well. So it's, I don't know. What do you make of, so Triple H put out there on Twitter, let's shake up the world at SummerSlam week, announcement coming Friday.
Oh, I didn't hear about what that's going to be, but I think it's SummerSlam week.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a live NXT event.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more focus on him with NXT, man. It's almost like you wish the enthusiasm for that brand is just being felt on the main roster.
Right. Well, you know what the funny thing is, too? It's to no one's fault, but the enthusiasm around NXT has dropped just a little bit, and some of that is just because Kevin Owens is leaving the brand. You've got injuries with Sami Zayn and Hideo Itami. Samoa Joe has brought some excitement, but it's, there's only so high you could go for a show the way that NXT is right now, especially coming off WrestleMania and all the excitement on that. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It was just destined to happen. Like, they weren't going to go any higher at that point. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen.
There's always a slow period, and then it picks up again during SummerSlam time.
Oh, yeah. So
people tune out for a bit, and they come back. I mean, it's just the viewing habits that they have, and always the challenge is to make people watch all the time. So that's not always going to happen.
Are you of the belief?
I mean, I could see why the ratings are the lowest or whatever, because like I said, there's more options for people to watch than ever before.
Yeah. Are you of the belief, like me and a lot of other people, that Balor is going to beat Owens on Saturday for the NXT title?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it or what, but what a huge moment for him to win in Japan where he made his name for it. I mean, the story is right there to be told.
He's got to win it clean, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of, is Cena going to interfere and cost him the match? I don't see
that. I don't want to see an interference where he's standing in a distraction and we get a roll-up or something. I'm like, oh. No, please.
It's got to be something in a way done right. But I don't think Owens would lose any heat if he lost cleanly to Finn Balor in Japan.
Mm.
Like I don't see. I mean, I don't see that being a problem. I don't know about you, but like you said, I hope that turns out to be a clean finish. It's just it's exciting, and it's also a neat experiment to see how it does. But I don't know if you can really gauge how many people are actually watching at one time on the WWE Network. Maybe they have that option or that way of doing it.
By the way, so that's going to be on the WWE Network, 5:30 a.m. Eastern on July 4th, this Saturday. What time are you going to be waking up to watch that show?
Well, I'm actually going to be up for a different reason, for a triathlon my wife's doing. I'm going to go cheer her on.
Oh, so you can't even watch it.
So it's going to conflict with that.
Hmm.
Although I can watch it on my phone while it's happening, so there you go.
So you can just be like, "Yay, I'm looking at."
Go,
honey.
Do both. That's technology for you.
If you say so.
See, the thing starts at 7, though, so theoretically I could watch some of it before I go.
Do you see that WWE Network is once again doing the free month for new subscribers?
Yeah. They might as well just make the free month every month for every.
They're going to do it every month except for August and whatever month WrestleMania is.
I mean, they could do that. Just say it's a free month for whoever signs up for the WWE Network, you know, initially.
That's all it's going to be, unless there's WrestleMania.
And then if you sign up again, then you shouldn't be able to get a free month.
Well, all these people are doing is getting new email accounts. Every month, they just get a new email account.
There's always a way of getting around. I mean, there's always a way to get around the system, right? So that's their way, but.
You know, you can only go.
I don't know if they should do it every frequent.
Hot sexy boy 69/1/2/3, right?
Yeah, but don't you need to use? Well, they can use the same credit card information. If they use the same credit card information, they shouldn't be able to trace that.
I think they do it by email, though.
Yeah, that's the problem. So, I mean, I don't know. What do you think of that?
Teach their own. I don't do it, but you know what? There's loopholes that are out there. And if that's what people are doing, then that's what people are doing. You know,
I mean, you feel cheated as if, I mean, I don't.
I mean, I don't.
I'm getting my $10 worth every month. So
right. I mean, it's not like it's somebody is going to some Russian website to watch a show, you know, with 20 pop-ups, you know, every 10 seconds.
Did you see the tweet someone sent Dixie about how they're like, oh, this pay-per-view sucked. I'm glad I streamed it.
Oh, what?
Back. Thank you for stealing our pay-per-view or something like that.
Oh, that's not cool. You know what I don't get? Okay, so I don't like the way that Dixie has run this company, okay? Do you think that I am going to blatantly just tweet at her going, hey, Dixie, you suck, you know, and stuff like that? I mean, I would never say in that manner anyway, but I can say I disagree with the way you're doing things, and I think you're running the company into the ground, but I... People that just take shots and blast her and blast other people in just such wild ways and are just, I can't imagine doing that.
But it's funny because those same people that bash like Dixie Carter or John Cena or someone, the minute if they had to see them or meet them in person, it would be a whole different story.
Hmm.
You would never say the things that a lot of people would never say the same things that they say on Twitter if they had to say it to someone's face.
Yeah, I don't know. I just couldn't do it. Everybody's
professionalism and sort of class.
Hey, everybody gets tougher when you're hiding behind the keyboard.
Yep, we know that. And I just got a little sense of what she gets every week because I think she like retweeted one of my tweets and then everybody was like tweeting her back and stuff. I just got a little sense of what she has to deal with on a daily basis.
You got some residual Dixie Carter hate, man.
Yeah. Oof.
You got a little spillage there.
Not pretty.
How bad was it? I mean, how much attention were you getting from people that were mad that you were saying nice things about TNA?
I mean, they weren't, like, mad at me, but they were saying, like, this company's closing, or, you know, why are you, you know, like, just questioning things, or are you kidding me? Like, things like that.
Hmm.
So I don't think people should criticize someone just for the fact that they watch something.
I think everybody should
if you don't want to watch something, then don't. Yeah. That's fine. But why do you got to criticize somebody who genuinely enjoys it? Like that's their problem. That's their problem. If you know, if they want to watch something and you don't think it's good, then who am I to say otherwise? You know.
Maybe they should just stop following you on Twitter.
They probably weren't even doing that. They were probably just, you know, just seeing it on the hashtag or something.
Sure. Just don't follow Scott Fishman on Twitter.
I mean, I'm sure you
Twitter.
Get that sometimes when you tweet something and someone's angry.
No, everybody agrees with me, in my opinion, so.
Oh, okay. So everyone agrees with you, so you have no issues ever. No one has ever insulted you.
I had
you
to, last week during the live Impact, or before it, I had to block the first person I've ever had to do that to.
Wow, I almost blocked somebody the other day because he went off on me, but I never did. I didn't even respond to him. But the thing is that, because I was going to respond to him, and I didn't want to get an attention for it, but he was saying, like, he was talking crap, basically. And I think it was funny that his Twitter handle actually had troll in his name. So that just gives you a sense of how this person is. And he had, like, 3 followers.
Of course he did. course he did. So.
So I bet people just go on there, create an account for that day or whatever, and then just use it to go off on people.
Sure, why not?
Just to have fun.
Hot sexy boy 69/1/2/3. There you go.
If somebody really has that, oh, man. We now know it's your Twitter handle.
There you go, man. There you go. Well, everybody can read Scott on his infamous Twitter feed now. It's at SM Fishman. You can also go to the fighting section of the Miami Herald, and you can see his contributions there. And also go to channelguidemagazine.com, where not only are you doing stuff covering wrestling, but you are now reviewing television shows, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, shows here and there. They got me doing, I've been doing Ballers here and there, and then also The Whispers.
The
ABC show. But if you go to channelguidemag.com, that's where you can.
Okay, channelguidemag.com. Okay, let's get that right, since I blew that already.
.com. And there's the blog section. That's where the stories run.
Or just follow you on Twitter. Click on your links. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Just do that. It'll make it so much easier, so.
Makes things so much easier.
All right, Scott. Well, hopefully there's not as much hate for you on Twitter this week. And you enjoy watching your wife in the marathon. Tell her I'm pulling for you. For her. And, you know,
right.
we'll make sure that we spoil all the results from the NXT show on your Twitter feed on Saturday morning.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, what a better way to celebrate July 4th.
Sure. Than being spoiled by a show that you want to watch later in the day.
God bless America.
Absolutely. Thanks, buddy.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.